Blog Talk Radio.
Internet world, welcome to the Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and I want to say a big thank you for taking time out of your Labor Day, your busy day for some of us, to join me today on my podcast. It is Monday, September 4th, 2023. It is always one of the most painful things to have to talk about on my podcast, but I must speak up and I must say it. Just a few days ago, a peaceful protester, his name Javed Rouhi, was murdered by this evil regime. And it's interesting to me that since he's well known and has gained a large following and people are speaking out, it's almost a year to the date when the death, the cruel, unjust murder and death of Mahsa Amini started this whole uprising in Iran. September 16th, when we look back on a year later since the death of Mahsa Amini. So this death by this evil regime has once again infuriated the people of Iran, as well as social and human rights activists all over the world. Javed Rouhi was imprisoned by the suppression forces of the Islamic Republic in Iran back in November. His crime? Peacefully protesting and dancing. So it's death for dancing. My good friend, Nazanin Afshin-Jam, who is a human rights activist living in Canada, speaking up for the Iranian people, had this to say on her Facebook page. She said, "Dancing is forbidden by the regime. He was tortured, that is, Javed Rouhi was tortured repeatedly in jail, denied medical attention, and died suspiciously today," which was a few days ago that she wrote this. "It is examples like this why on September 16th, Iranians and non-Iranians are gathering in rallies around the world to stand in solidarity with freedom-loving Iranians over the brutal theocratic dictatorship to them hostage. September 16th marks 1 year since Mahsa Jina Amini was fatally beaten for not properly wearing her hijab. And Nazanin encourages, please join the fight. This is not just about Iranians' freedom and human rights, but about the security of the world. Dictatorships are uniting. Western liberal democracies must, too, and stand up for what is right." And I couldn't agree more with what Nazanin has written. Dancing is forbidden in Iran. Since the revolution in 1975, women can't go out publicly without wearing a hijab. Mahsa Jina Amini was beaten in custody for not properly wearing hers. Javed Rouhi was a peaceful protester during the uprising. All he did was dance in the streets. But like I said, dancing is forbidden in Iran. It goes back to the 1979 Iranian Revolution, where all of this chaos and all of this robbery of human rights and freedom took place with Khomeini becoming the supreme leader and promising all of this change and all of this freedom after the Shah was exiled, and instead he brought death and destruction. Well, here in the States, in the United States, there is one Persian-born woman who is standing up for dancers like Yavid. Her name is Tara Ghassemi. She is Persian-American, and she is a ballerina. She is a dancer. And recently, she was interviewed on PBS about the uprising in Iran and how she is using her ballet to be a voice for all Iranians. I want you to hear this very, very interesting special report.
Tutus and tiaras, penches and pirouettes, Tara Ghassemi's Instagram feed is filled with athletic feats of grace befitting a professional ballerina. But in the past year, her posts have also included advocacy, like these fouette turns. The high bar normally set in the ballet world is to perform 32 in a row, as iconically danced by the Black Swan in the classic ballet Swan Lake. Ghassemi posted herself executing 50 to mark what was at the time 50 days of protests in Iran following the death of Mahsa Amini while in the custody of the country's so-called morality police.
Knowing that social media is literally been the driving force in bringing awareness to what's going on in Iran, I needed to do my part.
Ghassemi feels that need because she herself is half Persian, born in California to an American mother and an Iranian father who left the country shortly before the 1979 revolution. Growing up in a post-9/11 world, it was hard for Ghassemi to carry that heritage in the face of bigotry.
Growing up as a child, an Iranian-American girl, like full unibrow, fuzzy face, I actually was bullied a lot. I was called Terrorist Tara, and so dance was my refuge. That was really where my home was.
Now Ghassemi, who performs with Golden State Ballet in Southern California, says she is the first Iranian-American principal dancer in the U.S.
To be the first Iranian-American principal dancer, as it is an honor, is actually a big sadness for me. Because why I am the first is due to dictatorship and suppression of men and women and the fact that they are not given the freedom of artistic expression.
Following the revolution, Western forms of art, like classical ballet, were banned in Iran, which makes Ghassemi's passion a liability.
I met my Iranian family one time in my life in Dubai. My dad never let me go to Iran. I was too well-known of a ballerina, and so that's really heartbreaking for me because that's the only place I really want to be.
The strict artistic restrictions implemented after the revolution also led to the disbanding of the Iranian National Ballet, a fact she herself only discovered 5 years ago.
I realized, wait a minute, they were the biggest ballet company in the Middle East for 20 years. And then another moment, oh my God, they were exiled from Iran for being a ballet dancer.
The discovery was a revelation for Ghassemi. She began to dive into her Persian roots, pushed by a desire to put a spotlight on the ballet company and the dancers forced to hang up their slippers or flee. As she emerged from the COVID pandemic, Ghassemi partnered with a team of journalists and producers to craft a short film called Persian Swan, a moniker given to her in childhood by close friends.
Dance. When you are broken open.
It introduces Ghassemi to the world as the lone Persian-American principal ballerina and is a preamble, she says, for a full feature documentary her team is working on about the forgotten history of the Iranian National Ballet. And in March, the Intuitive Artship Foundation that Ghassemi co-founded with her husband and partner on stage Vitor Luiz premiered the ballet The White Feather. The full evening-length production, which Ghassemi directed and co-choreographed, explores artistic restrictions in Iran through the lens of its one-time national ballet company. And as both came to fruition, she says, so did the anti-government protests fighting for women's rights and freedom of expression in Iran.
It really was divine timing, and so everything we've been working towards has just now been amplified because the world is seeing it.
Using the hashtag Dance for Iran, she dedicates posts to and amplifies posts of Iranians arrested or missing for removing hijabs, dancing in the streets, and other acts of defiance and self-expression. like these teenagers in Ekbatan, Iran, who are arrested and forced to apologize for their now viral video dancing in Western clothing without hijab.
I had to scream in a pillow because I just didn't know what else to do with that kind of frustration and pain and just rage. And so the only thing I could do was do their dance. That was it. Do a little bit of an improv for myself in there because I'm not as good as that as them. Just to do it in point shoes. And I did that in one take and I just did side by side and posted it.
Gassamia, whose goal is to one day create a ballet studio in Iran and be the first to perform on the stage once home to the Iranian National Ballet, hopes her posts of support are reaching those dancing underground in the country.
My heart aches for the little girls and boys and the adults, everyone learning dance in their living room and basements. They are my fuel.
But for the rest of the world, her message is deeper.
It's not just about showing the hair. A lot of people get stuck about that with the hijab. It's not about that. It's about the choice. And this is not about dance. This is about artistic expression. And then to bring it even deeper, if we're all artists, all co-creating, this is about being able to just express your being freely, to be able to express who you are in a free world. And because my choice of expression is ballet, I'm using that medium to get that message across.
For the PBS NewsHour, I'm Julia Griffin.
Well, God bless Tara Gassamia. Here is a Persian-born American who sees what happens daily to her family and friends in Iran. Her father was Iranian. She wants to open up a ballet studio one day in Iran. Well, it would have to be after this regime is gone away, because she could never do something like that. But she loves the Iranian people. She has not forgotten them. Even though she's never personally ever stepped foot in Iran, she knows about it because of her father. And she has dedicated her career as a ballerina to being a voice for Iranians. It's just a beautiful tribute, and I hope you enjoyed and got a glimpse of her lifestyle and what she does to be a voice. And I hope if you ever have a chance to see her on stage, she's exquisite. She's very talented. Well, speaking of dancing, it was back in 2009 that Afshin Ghaffaria, who was an underground dancer in Iran, decided he could no longer perform his art safely there. And there was a very important movie made about this man's career and what he did for dancing in Iran. He had to leave because it was too dangerous. There was a movie made called Desert Dancer. It's all about Afshin Ghaffaria and his desire to dance. I want you to hear this soundbite.
My name is Afshin Ghaffaria. I'm a citizen of Iran. And I'm a dancer.
It was in my mind that why there is no dance in Iran, and why dance is forbidden. I cannot dance. And why?
I read the story about this Iranian dancer called Afshin and how he had put on a performance in the desert, been arrested because he was a dancer. And I was fascinated by this story because I had no idea that it was illegal to dance in Iran.
I want to start a dance group.
You get caught dancing, you go to prison.
I want us to take control of our lives.
We were all protesting the condition in Iran. We want changes. We want to do something.
The regime, you know, they're strangling us. We can go out to the desert. We can feel what it's like to breathe.
For me, it was clear that this is the thing that I want to dance.
Afshin used dance as a communication to show people what he had gone through. He had a saying that dance is his weapon. And I love the idea of dance being a weapon to fight for freedom.
Dance can be anything, waving goodbye or raising your fist in the air. But you only make a difference when you find your own secret language.
He fundamentally does not like the fact that his voice is silenced before he has a chance to find out what it is.
It's based in Iran, but this could happen anywhere in the world. Do we really live in a world where every single human being is allowed to express themselves to their full potential?
The film is built around this belief that no matter who you are, what religion, race, or creed, we all have the same right to fulfill and to live our dream. And Afshin's story is very symbolic of that belief and of that hope and of that fight.
And when I dance, I feel free. It's like no one can take that away.
The incredible true story of Afshin Ghaffaria, who had to leave Iran because of dancing. His life was in peril. But he took a group of other young dancers out in the middle of the desert and put on a dance performance for many to see exactly the beauty of this art. It's a suppression of the arts in Iran. Filmmakers, actors, actresses. There's no freedom of expression in Iran, but Afshin Ghaffarian decided, you know what, I'm going to do it, even at the risk of my life. And at one point he had to leave and he fled to Paris, where I think he still lives today. It is a travesty. But again, I began our talk program today with Javed Rouhi, recently killed and tortured in prison for dancing in Iran. And now we go all the way forward to Afshin Ghaffaria. I want to talk a little bit more about September 16th, which is Mahsa Amini Day. And I want to spend a little time here speaking about a young girl, a young protester that I wrote about in my book, Rising, We Are the Revolution. Her name is Nika Shakarami. Well, recently, her mother spoke up about what's going to be happening on September 16th. And, of course, Nika Shakarami was killed by the Islamic Republic of Iran state security forces for peacefully protesting against the state. What they tried to do is tell the family, well, here's video of her committing suicide. She wasn't killed by us. And, of course, that was a lie. She had this to say on her Instagram page. It's in Persian. But she refuses to be scared, are silent, are hopeless. This is a brave woman, Nazreen Shakarami, Nika's mother. She said this on her Instagram page, "Dear honorable and grieving people of Iran, now that we are approaching the anniversary of the liberation movement, September 16th, I plead with everyone to cease the sorrow and pain. Instead of mourning and grieving, let's be hopeful and motivated to build a prosperous and free Iran. Naturally, in this journey, we also need to be happy and to go on with our work so that nobody's life is harmed. Otherwise, we will become weaker and weaker every day, and those filthy claws drip with the blood of our children will grow stronger. I and those like me whose children have given their lives for this cause should defend the right to life and the professional and civil rights of others. We must not accept any harm to the life and dignity of any compatriot on this road." Nazreen Shakarami, in behalf of her daughter, Nika, who was killed in September of 2022 during the uprisings. I could go on and on. I want to share with us the plight of two rappers in Iran, both of them in prison for simply creating songs of protest. Again, there's no freedom of artistic expression in Iran, from dancing to singing to anything. I want you to listen just a few minutes about Kurdish rapper Saman Yassin. Saman Yassin exposes torture, and he recently put out an audio message about what is going on in the prisons against rappers like him and Tomas Salehi, which I'll talk about in a minute. In prison, Kurdish rapper Saman Yassin, who was arrested by Iranian security forces during anti-government protests in Tehran last September, has described in a new audio file the psychological torture he has endured, including staged executions and the infliction of a nose injury as a result of intense interrogation by security officers aimed at extracting forced confessions. Now, this message that he made was recorded before he was transferred to Evin Prison, as reported by Kurdistan Human Rights Network. In this audio message, Saman Yassin revealed that the authorities had threatened him by harassing his family, saying, "We have your family. We have your brother. They are all here." Adding he had been denied communications and visits from his family, the artist said, "I had no information. They said, if you don't want your family to be tortured, write these down and you will be released. I had no choice but to comply so they would not touch my family." Forced confessions are a norm when you go to prison in Iran. Yasin also said he was once taken to a staged execution while he was in the quarantine ward of Raji Shahar prison in Karaj. The rapper also spoke of the physical torture he suffered in detention, saying that security interrogators broke his nose, which still bleeds every few nights. He has been denied access to medical care in an outside hospital because of the judge's objections. Now, in his audio message, the prisoner also recounted his recent transfer to a psychiatric in Tehran. "Upon arrival at Amin Abad Hospital, I was forcibly tied to the hospital bed by a group of prison guards and my staff. My hands were handcuffed and my legs were shackled. An injection I was given left me unconscious for 24 hours. Now, back in July, Judge Salavidi, he's the hanging judge in Iran, made the transfer to the psychiatric ward. He was there for a few days, forced hospitalization, then he was returned to prison. Now, this is what goes on to those artists in Iran like Saman Yasafi, and I know I get their names a little mispronounced, forgive me for that. Also, another rapper is Tomaj Saliki, who has written rap songs of protest. He's also in prison in Iran, and he has been tortured. His legs have been broken. His mind has been racked with drugs, and enduring the same thing as his fellow compatriot, Saman Yasahi. And so the whole purpose of my program is to be a voice for these suffering Iranian people. Also, a musician, a well-known musician around the world, Mehdi Rajabian, has been under house arrest. He was in prison for having female background vocalists on a project of human rights. He was tortured several years ago in prison, was told not to make any more recordings, but Mehdi Rajabian decided, no, I'm not listening to this government. I will risk my life. And he has put out several musical projects since then. He's worked in collaboration with musicians all over the world, and in his private studio in Iran, he has put together projects. They are human rights projects. They are music for human rights. One of those projects was entitled Middle Eastern, and I want you to hear right now a selection from that. It's a very emotional song where, of course, Mehdi Rajabian is playing the sitar. That's his instrument. It's a song about Iran, and you can feel the emotion in these songs. But here is a man who was not allowed to travel outside the country, who is really under house arrest, who's in danger of going to prison any day for simply recording and creating more music for human rights. And he is not allowed, of course, any royalties from the purchase of his music. I want you to hear this song from Middle Eastern by Mehdi Rajabian. It's called Iran. Wow, just a powerful and emotional composition by Mehdi Rajabian entitled Iran from his project Middle Eastern. Here is a talented man who has so much to offer to the world, yet he is a prisoner of Iran for creating music. Today we remembered Ruhi, the protester and dancer who was cruelly murdered for dancing in Iran. And we are remembering those artists today who are imprisoned simply because there is no freedom under the iron fist of the Islamic Republic of Iran. I want to thank Tara Ghassemieh for dedicating her ballerina acts, her ballet, to the people of Iran. What a wonderful, beautiful person. And I want to thank you also for taking the time out of your busy schedule to listen to this program today. As we celebrate our freedom here, as we remember the wonderful beauty of freedom here in the United States, let us never forget the oppression that the Iranian people live under on a daily basis. And that's why I do this program, The Cross in the Desert. I want you all to have a wonderful week. Have a wonderful Labor Day holiday. Stay safe. Stay healthy. And never forget your freedom. Never take your freedom for granted. Never forget for one moment there are people like Iranians suffering all over the world. See you again on Thursday.